Let us pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly bread, heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Micah, beginning with chapter 5, verse 2, and it reads, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrath, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is of old and from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up unto the time when she who is in labor has brought forth the rest of his kindred, shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and shall be the one of peace. Of Assyria, come into our land and tread upon our soil. We shall rise against them, severing shepherds, and eight installed as rulers." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 46. And it reads, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel to remember his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today I come to you with a message that asks the question, what makes you so special? There are times in our lives when we find ourselves asking the question, why? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Especially when it comes into the form of, why me, Lord? Has anybody said that recently? Let me see some hands if you've said that. Why me, Lord? And yet, when we think about how many times we've heard people ask this question, why me, Lord? Why was I the one who got sick? Why was I the one who got hurt? Why am I always the one who's struggling to pay my bills, struggling to make it from one day to the next? Why am I always the one who are facing problems at home, problems with my children, with my spouse, with my parents? Why am I having so much trouble on my job? Why did I lose my job? And this list can go on and on and still barely scratch the tip of the iceberg of reasons why so many people have asked this question, why me, Lord? And the truth of the matter is, as many of us know, we sometimes never ever find out the answer to that question. But even in the midst of all of that, there's still one thing we can be assured of. And that is, no matter what it is you're facing, no matter what it is you're going through, no matter what challenges, trials, troubles, or tribulations, obstacles may come your way, you never have to face them alone. Amen? And the reason why we know this is because this is God's promise to us. Just taking a look in the book of Hebrews, for example, chapter 13, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can say this with confidence. To my Lord, he is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? It's these words of assurance that has given me the ability to deal with all those why questions that have come into my life. And it is my hope and my prayer that each of us will find their way to be able to do the same thing, to realize that no matter how rough life might be, you're not in this by yourself. But now, in that question of why me, Lord, believe it or not, there's a whole nother side to that. There's a whole nother side of times when we ask, Lord, why me? We ask that question when we find ourselves in situations when actually good things are happening to us. And we find our lives going in a great direction. And things just seem to always work out right. And we ask the question, not in a cynical way, but more of a curious way. Lord, why me? Why are things turning out so great? Why am I being blessed in this particular moment? And sometimes they may even come to us as a surprise when we turn around and we look up and all of the things that we've been hoping for and praying for begin to fall into place. And then there are those times when God surprises us with things that we didn't expect, with things that we didn't ask for, with things that we did not anticipate. And in those moments, and those moments when we're so pleasantly pleased and surprised, we then turn around and go, Lord, why did you choose me? Why did you pick me? Why did you bless me? This is what we found out in our lessons today that we read just a few moments ago. Beginning with our scriptures from the book of Micah, what we find is God proclaiming to them through his servant, to the town of Bethlehem, he's saying to them in a message that he sent, he says, you, the smallest of the clans of Judah, something wonderful is going to happen. Something great is going to come from you. Someone who will be the savior of our world is going to come forth and rule Israel. And they're coming from you. Someone whose origin is of old and ancient days is coming from you. Someone is going to come from you who is going to go over, above, and beyond and feed all of God's flocks. And he's going to draw his strength from the Lord. Someone is going to come from you, you little itty-bitty town, who is going to bring security and peace. Not just to you, not just to this region, but to the entire world. And upon hearing this news, I can only imagine the rulers and the leaders and the people of Bethlehem saying, why me, Lord? Is there not another town that's more noble? Is there not another city that's greater than us? Is there not another region in this world that's more worthy than our little itty-bitty town that you should choose us? What made you choose us? And as they pondered this question, in response to their question, God smiled upon them and gave them the same answer that he gave Mary when she asked that same question. Hold on to that question for just a minute. Why did God choose to give it to them? As we look at what Mary asked. After Mary had her encounter with that angel and told her that you would be the mother of the Savior, you will be the one who will bring into this world the one who would unite us all, who would be the Prince of Peace, who would be the one who would bring into this world someone who would just simply teach the world how to live in harmony and in joy. Mary looked up and said, "Why did you choose me for this? Is there no other woman who's more noble, more honorable, more respected, well known? Why'd you choose me?" Without holding you all in suspense a little bit longer, the answer is the same thing that we talked about in our children's sermon. God chose Mary simply because he loved her. She lived a life that pleased him, and he loved her. And he said, "I choose you." He looked at Bethlehem and saw that they were okay. And so he said, "Bethlehem, I love you. I choose you." And then we go on with our gospel. It says that when Mary asked that question, he didn't just come right out and answer her. He gave the answer to her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said it in such a way to make sure that Mary did not miss the point, did not miss the mark, did not miss the fact that she was truly loved. Elizabeth said, and I quote, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit in your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to see me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes there will be a fulfillment of what is spoken by her and by the Lord." It was in that moment, after Elizabeth said that I'm honored to be in your presence because you have been blessed and loved by God, it was as if a light turned on in Mary's head. And when Mary realized that she was chosen because God loved her, that was what prompted her to sing the song that we heard just a few moments ago, the Magnificat. And in it, she just simply says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God. For he has looked with favor upon me in my lowliness. He looked upon his servant in her low estate. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done a great thing for me. Holy is his name." And as she goes on, she realizes that she didn't do anything to earn this. She didn't do anything to deserve this. God did it just because he loved her. And just as Mary came to understand this reason, the reason why she was chosen, it was this same love that was reminded through Bethlehem. It was this same love that brought us here today. Beloved people of God, this is the same love that makes you so special in the eyes of God. Amen. Yes, as I began this sermon, there will be those times when we ask the question, why me? When unfavorable things are happening in and around our lives. But it's God's love that I want you to remember is the reason why he will stand by you and never allow you to go through these things alone. And during those times when wonderful things are happening, during those times when you look up and you ask God, why me? As you are rejoicing in all the wonderful things that are happening in your life, know that the reason why all of this is happening is simply because you are loved by God. And in response to all of this, I challenge you to do as I did with my children. As you receive that love from God, I challenge you to take that love and to share it. Take that love and just give it away freely to everybody who you encounter. And what you will discover is, one, you'll never run out of love. And two, it'll always come back to you. The more you give away, the more comes back. And here's how I'm going to prove it. Turn to somebody that's sitting near you, look them in the face, and repeat after me. Look at people. Don't look at me. Look at somebody else. And say to them, God loves you because you're special. Now turn to somebody else and say the same thing. God loves you because you're special. Now, as you said those words, you just passed your love on to somebody else, and it came right back to you. You didn't feel empty when you said those words, did you? Matter of fact, after you said them, you probably felt a little fuller, a little freer, a little more loved. And so know this, beloved people of God. God loves you. Why? Not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but simply because you're special. And so take that. When you leave here, share that with somebody who may have forgotten how loved they truly are. Share it with somebody who may be going through a hard time, who needs to hear a word that'll boost their hearts and boost their spirits and make them feel just a little bit better than they did when you encountered them. One more time, everybody, repeat after me. You are special because God loves you. And I'm going to add one more piece, and so do I. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us so much and for doing so much for us, starting out with the sending of your Son to us and for us so that we may experience the true love that you have for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.